Welcome, guys, to the third episode of Never Offside with Julie and Kat. We have a very exciting guest today. He's one of my good friends, Eric Stonestreet from Modern Family. So we'll get to him in a little bit. But first, Jules, what's been going on this week? You had a fun little eventful past week.
Oh, my. Did I ever. I went from Chicago for a youth hockey tournament to Vegas for a work trip for Line Change, where we went to the tailgate licensing show where all these vendors are, every NHL team, NBA teams, football, you know, you name it. And you're kind of networking, selling, observing all the things. Wow, I can't even, we would need a whole episode dedicated to 4 days in Vegas, which is 2 days too long for me. I think you should only stay like two nights max in Vegas.
Agreed. Did you and Ange let your hair down? Like what?
We did in a professional way. We thought we were going to be a little bit more buttoned up in terms of we were going to be in bed early, but it turns out due to the circumstances and me committing to everything that I do wholeheartedly, we went the distance and you stay out a long time in Vegas and they shut out all the clocks. You don't know what time it is. We found ourselves at blackjack tables. And the time change, man, that's what got me, this West Coast to East Coast time. We had a running joke by the third night we were there. Jeff would FaceTime me at anywhere between 2 and 3 in the morning West Coast time. And the second night he did it, I'm like, why are you awake right now? He's like, it's 6 in the morning and our kids have school. I'm making them lunches. And I'm like, oh my God.
I'm not going to lie. I loved being on the East Coast time because you're just ahead of everything. I feel very behind, especially even on this podcast with you, like being on the West Coast. You're just, maybe that's why we're so laid back, because we're just like, we're not.
Yeah, you're just catching up all day. That's
yeah, we're
how
always catching up.
Anyways, it was so much fun. Gosh, it was so fun to be with my team, and then, you know, to get to meet new people within like within the NHL. Honestly, we're meeting with teams and their retail divisions, and it's just really cool to see kind of all sides of the business there.
What inspired the TikTok movement?
Oh, well, TikTok has always been, you know, there, and then it went away, and when it came back, we're like, oh, it's here to stay. So we're like, let's capitalize on it. And yeah, we're going strong over there. It's a lot of raw footage that you won't see over on the pretty curated TikTok. I mean, on the Instagram. So yeah, check it out. It'll be a laugh for everybody.
I have never been a TikTok person. Tyler loves it. All my friends love it, but I just can't get into it. But weirdly, now that it's back, I'm like, oh, is it?
Yeah.
Like, well, so is that like what you guys did?
Yeah, kind of. So we'll get you over there. But speaking of busy weeks, I've never seen you more, you know, prevalent on the San Jose Sharks page. You're doing podcasts with them. You're in the in-game hosting situation. Like, you're big time over there, Kat.
I need to calm down, because Tyler's like, all right, all right, I'm seeing you a lot in my workplace right now. So but yeah, it's cool. I did Tara Sloan's podcast, which was really fun. It was actually fun to do it because you know, I feel like I'm learning still. So it's great when a professional is interviewing you, you're like, cool, like, let's soak this in.
Yeah.
So yeah, her podcast was great. And then the in-game kind of shout out for our podcast was really cool. And getting to talk to her was great. So also a few of my friends from home were watching, and they haven't really been around me like in this hockey world, you know, this is new. So they were just kind of like, what do you mean you're going on the broadcast right now? And it was, they
and
were
then
just
they
kinda,
see you.
Yeah, they were kind of roasting me like, this is, we don't know this you.
Get
so I'm
used
like, well.
To it, people. I didn't go to the game Saturday night because I came home from Vegas, the Red Wings game. But my son and my mom went to the game, and my son comes home and he's like, Mom, your podcast was on the Jumbotron in the game. And it was like funny to hear. I was like, I need all the details. Like, I didn't know that it was going to be promoted during the game. So it was cute. He's like my little hype man.
I love that he noticed that.
Yeah.
I, like, I almost wish he like whipped out someone's phone real quick. You know what I mean?
I like, know, honestly, to give me like the full story of it. But it's fun to see. And I love watching you on that West Coast time takeover over there.
And you did also, you did a Detroit interview as well.
I did do a Detroit interview. I think that comes out today. Busy That's week. How blurry my week is. If we can just put it all in a nutshell, I did an interview when I was in Chicago for Boyd's hockey tournament. I did a podcast that I think releases today for the Detroit News.
So. Well, it's been pretty cool to see people, you know, give us shouts and kind of be interested in this because it's new for us and we're excited. So it's fun to see other people excited.
Yeah, it is.
So coming up next, speaking of exciting, is again, my friend Eric Stone Street. He will talk about everything from, you know, hockey to Taylor Swift.
Coming off the ultimate Chiefs fan, which we could not have planned this better.
He's up next, Eric Stone Street.
Ohio Stadium, where the Wolverine and Buckeye States meet to throw fuel on a century-old rivalry. But this time, it's different. This time, the roles of red and blue are reversed. Moving in, shot, score! This time, it's hockey at the Shoe.
Larkin with speed!
The Blue Jackets and Red Wings take it outside with the Navy Federal Credit Union NHL Stadium Series. Buy tickets now.
NHLShop.com, the official online store of the National Hockey League and the world's largest selection of officially licensed NHL fan gear with unique one-of-a-kind designs by Fanatics and all the latest styles for every NHL team. Don't miss out. Shop now and get today's special offer. NHLShop.com, a Fanatics experience.
All right, well, welcome back. Our next guest is here. You know him as Cam from Modern Family. He's won some Emmys, but I know him as my good friend, Eric Stone Street. So welcome, Eric.
Good friend?
Yeah.
I always said mild acquaintance cat, like my mild acquaintance cat.
Okay, well, that's just a lie.
I'm just kidding. How long has it? How long have we known each other? It's crazy now when you think about it.
I had to look back. It's since 2012.
Well, that's I need some background info here. I need to hear how this connection started. And as a mother of four, I know you as Duke from Secret Life of Pets. So
yeah,
we're big fans here.
Thank you. That's great. That's awesome. I love when I get to tell kids that's the big brown dog is me. It's really fun. I think we just met. It's the simple story is when I went to a Dodgers game one time, you were in charge of like getting me to my seats or something like that, right?
Well, not, I mean, a little more than that, but I,
okay.
I was in charge of, you know, all the celebrity, I guess PR, celebrity marketing, and you started coming to games, and then we just started asking you for things, and I was the one who had to start asking you for things.
Yeah, and then when you started asking me for things, I was like, well, I guess I'm going to buy my own seats so I don't have to perform like a goat every time I come to the game. So then I got season tickets.
Correct, because if I'm comping you seats, I'm going to ask you to, like, throw out a first pitch or read the lineup.
Yeah,
and
yeah, yeah.
Well, then we
go on the Jumbotron.
Well, I mean, it was fun. We had a lot of fun times. You did a lot of really cool stuff at the Dodgers. So,
remember Kiss Cam?
I do. That was really fun. Can you explain that?
Yeah, it was Kiss Cam. So I was like, well, we should have Jesse and I come sometime to the game and do a Kiss Cam, but it's actually people lining up to kiss Cam.
Oh, clever.
It was cute. It was fun.
It was cute. I think that was LGBT night, I think. But it was a big
Makes
deal.
Sense.
Yeah, and then Jesse came on at the end.
Mm-hmm.
That was fun. Yeah.
So I hear that you are the one, the matchmaker of Ty and Kat. Is that true? True or false?
Yeah, I don't think I'll take full credit for it, but I think I had definitely something to do with it. You know, I had been friends with Kat, like we said, you know, before Tyler. And so I had heard about other people. Tyler, I don't want this to be a shock to you, but there were men before you. And I had heard, you know, some of her ups and downs in relationships and, you know, as her friend and someone who I thought was really good and nice and obviously pretty and cute. She deserved someone really great. So I was skeptical immediately of anyone that was interested in Kat as like her uncle or something or her dad. I don't know how to explain it. We're not that far apart in age, even though I look so much younger than you.
Oh, thanks.
Here comes Carl. Carl, come here. Do you want to make an appearance? Carl is literally a black cat sitting right here next to me.
Oh, my God.
Just staring at me. He's
judging
so cute.
Us.
Yeah, judging. So I think, you know, you'll have to remind me of how it went. I mean, I remember one night specifically going out with Tyler and Tanner Pearson and a few other guys in Manhattan Beach, and me then being able to say to you, I think he's a great guy. Like, I really get a good vibe from him. I know he was very persistent, which in these world and times would now be called stalking. He would not give up on you going on a date with him, which I just found to be super charming because I thought he was a super charming guy. And I remember saying, like, I feel good about that guy. I think he's quality individual.
Yeah, so Ty and I met after they won the cup in 2014. So you and I had been friends for 2 years by then. And
yeah.
Mild acquaintances.
Yes, mild acquaintances. We were no longer work friends. We were friends. But yeah, so Ty, I didn't meet him when they brought the cup to the stadium, but I met him the next time when he threw out the first pitch with Tanner and Alec Martinez and all those guys. And then he slid into my DMs asking me, you know, I think his first line was, whenever you need someone to throw out a first pitch, I'm available. And I was like, all right, no, bye, whatever. So then the big night, though, was at your Christmas party. And remember, Anje Kopitar was there and Ines Kopitar. And this came up again. It was like, do I go on a date with this guy? And you're like, I like him, but let's ask Anje. And then Ines came over and just proceeded to tell me how great of a guy he was. It's all by your pool, and that's pretty much how it all happened.
But didn't the first year I wouldn't allow him to come to the party because I didn't know him yet, and I thought there was one year that I was like, no, he's not coming, not until like I get a vibe on him or something.
That was that party. That was the party.
Oh, okay.
He was not invited, but his friends were, and I think he inquired about being invited via Anje.
Oh, poor Tyler.
Yeah.
So we didn't.
Well, that's not the best place to, I'm looking out for Tyler in that situation. Obviously, I'm looking out for Kat, but I'm also looking out for Tyler because that's not the best place to make your best, you know, effort in a midway through a drunkard night at a party where you're just coming because you want to go meet a girl. It's like, it's got to be set up better than that. But I also think he had Anje ask me about you before, like, he did a whole lot of reconnaissance. I know that, which I felt was really a good sign for you that he was serious and not just, you know, trying to hit that.
Yes. So thank you. I appreciate you. And again, you might be the reason why this podcast is a thing. So.
Yeah. Which kind of, by the way, I think for everyone listening or watching, all your three viewers, the fact that Kat has a podcast is probably one of the craziest developments in my life that I could ever have imagined. I will give you credit, Kat, because I always admired you because you had a tough job with what you did and the interactions you had with people. And I was always so impressed with how not that you can't be, but how you were easy to judge one way. But once you got to know you, you realized you could be that or were that, but you're also just a very intelligent, thoughtful, kind human being where I feel like girls would look at you and be like, whatever, and guys would look at you and be like, hey. And I just always was impressed that you transcended all of the preconceived notions that people probably had of you.
Well, I very much appreciate that. Thank you. And that's actually,
it's like the nicest thing I've ever said.
Yeah, I was going to say, remember what you said when Ty and I started dating and you said that I became nicer because of Ty?
100% became nicer.
Oh, I like, let's know. Just, cat with Ty, so she had a little spicy yeah. side.
Well, oh my God. I think my exact words were, wow, Ty injected a little Canadian into you, if you know what I mean. Because you got...
You literally said you just got nicer, but maybe because I was so used to dealing with athletes and, you know, I
think it's true. I think that's true. That's what I've always admired about all the hockey players that I've met as well, is I've always been impressed with how, like, mostly down to earth and, like, dude-ish they are. One of the reason I was, you know, like, attracted to the sport, because I immediately met guys that I was like, wow, you're not only awesome on ice skates going backwards, but you're cool guy, like, and seemingly unaffected by how talented you have to be to do what you do for a living.
Well, so that's a question we got from a lot of people, is how did you get into hockey, and when did this love affair start with the sport?
Yeah, so embarrassingly so, I considered myself a sports fan for my whole life. And I didn't realize that I wasn't qualified to call myself a sports fan, because I hadn't been a fan of hockey. And so Kevin Harvick, who was a very good friend of Jeff Carter, and Kevin Harvick's a very good friend of mine, came to LA, and he was like, hey, we're going to go see my buddy Jeff Carter play for the Kings. Do you want to go to a hockey game? Now, I had been to a hockey game in Kansas City, but not an NHL game. So I'd been and seen hockey before, but not an NHL hockey. And I was like, yeah, sure. I've never even considered going. So we went, and it was instant. I'm like, okay, well, this is fun, and how embarrassing for me to be a sports fan and not have hockey in my life. So fortunately, I was lucky enough to become friends with Tim Lywicki there. He saw me, and he kept inviting me to games. And again, some season tickets came available, which is a crazy story. God rest his soul. Matthew Perry's old season tickets that he had came available, and they were like, hey, do you want these seats? And I said, yes, I do. And so I had his seats and started coming to every game, and very rarely missed a game from then on out.
Dang, every game, 42. That's a lot.
Saw two Stanley Cup championships in my first 2 years of being a hockey fan. I'm like, this is fun. This is really fun.
I mean, that takes stamina. I can barely get to, you know, maybe 35 at max, and then 42 plus a playoff run. You are the diehard fan of all fans, I think.
100%. Well, you know, same principle with my Dodgers season tickets. You know, when Modern Family happened and I started to, you know, have some money or whatever you want to say, I was like, well, I want to go to fun things and I want to do fun things. Like, I love sports. My Kansas City Royals obviously aren't in L.A., but Dodger Stadium is 14 minutes away, and I became a fan of the Dodgers and going to baseball games, and then a fan of the Kings, my hometown. I lived in L.A. for 20-whatever years, and I enjoyed taking guys from the crew. We had a lot of crew members on Modern Family that were big hockey fans. You know, a lot of those I always found the Kings fans to be the most loyal fans in Los Angeles. Always there early, never left. Never left before the game was over. And I thought that was true with the guys on the crew of Modern Family. So it was a treat for me to be able to take my friends and take some of those guys and have a great night.
And you guys shot a episode at the Kings too.
Oh yeah, that was awesome.
Was that you?
Yeah.
That, like,
I think I made the connection with Luke. You know, Luke was a big fan of the show, and then I think I maybe put people in touch to make that happen, but not me that wrote the episode or anything.
From the two Stanley Cups in LA, did you have any chance to party with the cup? Any stories you could share? Anything like that?
Yeah. I mean, I got to do all the stuff, which I felt guilty about, because here I am, this new fan of hockey, and all of a sudden I'm like, Anje's pouring a beer down my throat out of the Stanley Cup. And I was like, I don't really drink beer, but oh my God, I can't not do this.
You can't say no.
Yeah. No, I remember that first one being rushed from our seats there up to the roof of the then Staples Center and partying with all the players and Anje. And Anje and I had become friends in that run. And so I would text him, and he would text me before and after games and things like that. One of my favorite memories is, Kat, do you remember my friend Gary that I would bring to games?
Of course.
The big redheaded guy, Gary Krause. So Shane Doan, I had gotten to give Shane an award at the NHL Awards, I think, in Las Vegas. And he just was an awesome guy. I just really liked that dude a lot. And then the Coyotes came to town and we're sitting in our seats and Shane's bent down for a face-off and he looks up at me and smiles and winks at me. And my friend Gary lost his marbles because, like, I didn't tell him, like, I kind of know that guy. I met him before, you know, or whatever. And he's like, did he just smile and wink at you right there before that? Like, yeah. So my point is those are the experiences that I love with sport and access that I am so lucky to have is bringing in people and having those moments that they would never get to have. And I only get to have because, you know, my access, I guess.
So it's kind of funny, but I used to see you at every Kings game. I used to see you at every Dodger game. And that's where we always hung out. That was our social time together as gals. Mm-hmm. But now I only see you at the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. So, rough life, guys. Rough life.
I see you every year at the Super Bowl at this point. So congratulations. How was last night? We're filming this on Monday morning, by the way. So
Yeah, it was wild, but also just nerve-wracking, which is what the Chiefs have been this year, you know, winning games by one possession, always and never knowing for sure if it was going to be a victory or not. I felt really good going into the night, other than me just being nervous. Like, it's just crazy when you're just a fan, right? And you guys, everyone watching this for the most part can relate to it. It's like, we have no, you know, input into the outcome of going to a hockey game. Like, we can yell and we can scream and we can pound the glass and blah, blah, blah. But it's going to really come down to Tyler and Anje and those guys out on the ice and Patrick and Travis on the field. And there's just something so incredible when you have Patrick on your team and Travis on your team and Andy Reid as your coach that does all of a sudden make me feel like, I'm kind of part of this thing. I feel like we're going to win this thing and it's going to be great. So I was nervous.
Confidence, and it gives you that peace going in there. Like, if these guys are in charge, we're going to be okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I always wanted to do that as a performer. When people would come and watch me do improvisation, I always thought, like, my responsibility is to, as quickly as I can, let the audience member know, like, hey, you're in the hands of a professional. You can sit back. Don't be nervous for me and try to make people laugh. And that obviously creates a better show when everyone's relaxed and having a good time. And, you know, Patrick and Travis, they have the ability to sit me back in my seat and say, like, all right, the professionals have this. I'm going to just be a fan.
I was a little nervous just for this podcast's sake. Mm-hmm. Was there any moment where you're like, yeah, I might have to bail on Kat tomorrow if this doesn't go my way?
No, I'm good on all that stuff. I have a rule that I'm never more upset and never more depressed and never more down than the players have a right to be. They're the ones that put the effort in, the blood, the sweat, the tears, all the cliched things. But, like, you know, I just have this moment every time I've been on the losing end of something where I have this realization of, like, okay, just a fan, just a fan. Moving on.
I read something that you like to watch these games alone, but when you're there, I'm assuming you're sitting in, you have a box of your own, or are you sitting with other people? Like, what is the situation there? Because I can respect sitting at games alone. I kind of have my own little mojo there too.
Well, I create an alone environment where people certainly know the rules. Like, I'm
like
around people.
An aura.
Yes, and you do not come into my circle unless it's between plays, halftime, between quarters, or unless invited. If I engage in conversation, then sure, let's chat. But for the most part, I'm just focused on the game. And we sit in a suite at Arrowhead. And, you know, I told Lindsay when we first got it, I was like, I don't want to put all the pressure on you, but I also am not hosting a party here. So I'm not going to be a host. I'm not going to make sure everyone has an iced tea that wants an iced tea. So you're going to have to kind of help that and then also be my buffer. And so when new people come, they just know, like, hey, just
Eric will come in. Do you have your own seat? like in the suite? Do you have your own specific seat? Like, do you have superstitions that roll into game days before, after?
I don't have superstitions necessarily. I mean, I like to sit in the one seat that I sit in because Lindsay then sits on the stairs next to me when she wants to come out and she's inside. So I like sitting there, and then usually someone sits next to me on my left. But I move around too. Like, you know, if there's kids there and they want to feel the idea of sitting in the front row of the suite, even though it's not much different than the second row of the suite, you know, I let the kids sit there and I'll sit behind for a while. And eventually we just, the rule is everybody just, there's no assigned seats. If there is assigned seat, it's me that has an assigned seat, but that's it.
I was dying at the videos of you getting like hoisted by the guys after the game. Mainly because Lindsay was trying to chat with you, and then she had to keep like sprinting out of the way. So Lindsay's the best in this situation. She's just such a great person. So
yeah, she would be, I mean, she would be an amazing wag, I guess. I guess she is a wife. I think of her as my wife. She is my wife, even though we're just fiancés, not just, but we're just not in a hurry to get married. We're building a house, so no pressure. But yeah, she's amazing. You know, I have a rule that I'm sure you, as wags, you guys come in
we
contact.
We love that term.
Yeah, we love it.
Oh, is it not something you like?
No.
No.
Oh, I didn't know. I'm sorry.
It's kind of cringy.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't sound great, but anyway. I'm sure you come into contact with is one of my rules that I kind of created when I was on the show with other people's boyfriends and girlfriends, which is I never wanted to be with anybody that wanted to be at the party more than me. Like, kind of the reason we're going to the party is because of my job. Kind of the reason people are going to the party is because you're married or dating the football player or the basketball player. And I just always found it to be a good rule that you never want to be with somebody that's more anxious to go to the after party than you are. And so I'm sure you come into a lot of contact with people who are like, no, we're going to that party because that's the place to be seen. And the player's like, I don't really want to go. I just want to go home. Like, and so I think Lindsay, in that respect, is a perfect wife and girlfriend of someone because she is exactly like me and wants to be there the exact same amount of that I want to be there.
Do you guys mingle with the Chiefs' wives?
We have. I mean, I love Brittany. She's got a bad rap right from the beginning, but Brittany's a badass. I have no problem saying it. I know her personality and have know firsthand what a great mom she is and how much she cares about Patrick and defend him to the end. I mean, and that's like, you guys can attest to that. It's like, it's not easy having somebody hate on your husband or your boyfriend or being mad at them because they missed a shot. And I can't imagine as a player, you'd want anyone else other than someone like that to be like, have your back. So yeah, we've been around all of them. I mean, for the most part, when there's something like that going on, yeah. What you're asking.
I'm going to go there. When Taylor entered the picture, did she change any of the mojo? Did, you know, she fit right into with the whole group? You know, because it's dynamics when new players' wives, their girlfriends come in and to the room, it can kind of change the whole dynamic. I mean, clearly it didn't change the winning dynamic there. If not, they're winning more. But any Taylor T?
Well, I think it speaks for itself in that, you know, and speaks to who she is because that didn't change any dynamic. Like, I'm not in the group, so I'm not going to say that. But my point is, you know, Brittany welcomed Taylor and Taylor, like, was excited to be with Brittany. And it just immediately was like, these two are friends and don't worry about what's going on. And they have a great relationship. I mean, look, I don't say I know Taylor, but I do have met her and been around her enough to know what a quality human being she is. I certainly can speak firsthand of what a quality human being Travis is. I've known him for a long time. He's always shows up to our charity, as does Patrick, always says what he's going to do and then does it. So in the spirit of good people attract good people, for the most part, it goes without saying what kind of person Taylor must be, because I know what kind of person Travis is. So I'm happy for him. And we welcomed Taylor into Chiefs Kingdom immediately. I know to the hatred of a lot of people in America and the conspiracy theorists that think, oh, the NFL wants us to win because Taylor's on TV. It's just so stupid. I can't even imagine how dumb a person has to be to think that. I can't even go there. But that also speaks for Patrick. I know Patrick. I know what a thoughtful, conscious person Patrick is. I always tell people the story that Patrick is the type of guy that I know you've all been around where you'll be standing in a giant crowded room and you're like, there's Patrick Mahomes. And then all of a sudden he's like, hey, Kat, how's it going? Good to see you or whatever. Like he notices you and takes the breath out of the situation. He's so aware of his surroundings and environment and then just such a good person. So I know Brittany has to be a good person because they're together and have been forever.
Okay, well, real talk. Have you felt less cameras on you ever since the whole Taylor craze?
Well, no. I mean, yes, I never felt like I had a ton on me, but like there is something I always said, like the most fun I ever had going to Kings games was when I would be like in the same orbit as Will Ferrell, because, you know, like walking 5 feet behind Will Ferrell, like I just get to go to my seat and nobody gives a crap about Cam from Modern Family and everybody's like, Will. And you just can like go by and people are like, hey, can you get a picture of Will and I? I'm like, sure. And off I go. And it's like, great. So no, there's none of that. Look, the Chiefs have always had this group of people, Paul Rudd, myself, Jason Sudeikis, Rob Riggle, Heidi Gardner, Dave Koechner. There's a ton of people that are from Kansas City that are on record being Chiefs fans. And then all of a sudden, Taylor comes in and she is the biggest Chiefs fan of all. And I love it. Tell you a great story though. This is a good one. Here's a little tea. After the Super Bowl last year, when Taylor was there, she sees me in the little corral area and, you know, we hug. And her words to me were like, now there's the real Chiefs fan. So oh, that just shows you. Cute. Yeah. I mean, that just shows you she knows and she's not putting herself at the top. She doesn't get to control how many times the camera shows her and
that is all really, that stuff. That is so telling. And I think
100%.
I mean, the little bit of, you know, obviously like before coming into this, I knew as much from, you know, Secret Life of Pets and Modern Family, but I'm looking and like you're on you're like during, you know, training camp, you're on the field with the guys. I'm like, I feel like you're the honorary captain. You are like the 12th man. Like these guys depend on you, I feel like, to be there. And to hear her say that, it really speaks to who you are. And you're, you know, you are just one of the guys.
Well, and it also shows that she has knowledge of the team and the organization, because sure, like I'm around a lot, probably too much as far as somebody's concerned. That just goes to my friendship with Brett Veach. People don't know that, like, I'm genuinely good friends with Brett, and he's a gracious, wonderful person and realizes that I've been a fan of the team since I've been a kid, and now I have this weird, crazy access. It's like pinch me moments. Again, a wonderfully thoughtful person, as is Coach Reed, as is Clark Hunt. It's just a great organization. So, but it shows you that Taylor had known enough about the Chiefs, or at least like sat down and Googled the Chiefs after her and Travis started dating, to know that that guy she'd met, you know, a few years ago at an award show is a Chiefs fan. And when she saw me, she's like, there's the real Chiefs fan. It's like very meaningful, very thoughtful.
That's we cute. Always laugh that when a new wife joins the team or new girlfriend or whatever, there's the group chat. You've hung out with a lot of us to see the group chat. So I always thought it was funny that maybe people were like, that's going to be a great add to the group chat.
Sure.
Are we adding the real number, maybe like the assistant's number in the group chat? Like
that's a tough one.
A little buffer there, I would think.
I think so too, because not everyone is as gracious and thoughtful as you might be. So you do, unfortunately, develop boundaries, and people always, you know, think like, oh, it's rude or whatever. It's like, well, those boundaries are developed for a reason, because in a lot of times people have taken advantage of a situation, and now it's like, well, I'm not going to get fooled twice or three times, whatever it is. So I'm sure everyone was gracious. I know she is. I know that everyone loves having her there, and she's just so great with the fans, and Travis is freaking awesome. I love Travis. Last night we were getting on the elevator, and he was standing there, and he saw Lindsay, and he lights up and make Lindsay feel so good. But I'm standing next to him. I'm like, how was that game, Trav? And his answer is legendary. He said, routine.
Oh, amazing.
Scholar.
Yeah.
Amazing.
So amazing. Now, after the game, you know, you guys, I'm assuming you didn't sleep very much. Like, are the players, are they going out? Are they letting loose after this game? Or are they like, nope, we got one more? Like, what's the pulse after a big game like that and a big win?
You know, I'm not sure. I know they would have a couple little days off. So I know Coach would just say what he always, I see him say in videos and have heard him say in the locker room, is take care of what you need to take care of tomorrow. Be careful, because if you're dinged up, you got to get in for therapy the next day and all that kind of stuff. But I would imagine it's degrees, right? Mm-hmm. You know, there's the Anže Kopitar on the team who probably just goes home and goes to bed because he's, you know, older now. Has a nice glass of wine and maybe a cigar and some introspective thought on his career. And then you've got the young gun that's like ready to party. And we all have been that. I was the same way on Modern Family. I was ready to go out in the beginning. And then by the end of it, I'm like, oh, yeah. I just want to go to bed. So I would say you have a varying degree of partying going on.
Do you still hate the term when you clinch playoffs or whatever? Do you still hate that term?
God, it's such a terrible word. Clinch.
Clinch.
Ugh.
He always hated that. And now, I mean, you're always on good teams.
So what do we use instead of clinch?
I don't know, but like
secure a playoff. Super Bowl?
Sure, secure a playoff spot. Clinching?
Ugh. Whenever it would happen with the Dodgers or whatever, Eric would just get so mad at that word having like being plastered everywhere, and then
clinching.
You were always trying to petition just like a new way to do it, but I mean all of the leagues just stick with it.
I would text you and I'd be clench batch. Like, it's like clenching. Like, Kat, are you clenching over there? It's like,
oh my God. Okay, well, wait, the betch thing, we didn't explain when we talked about our friendship. Eric used to always make fun of my California accent. So, yeah, you did, right?
Yeah. Well, is this a Christian podcast? Can I say bad words? I don't know.
You can say whatever. We can bleep.
Okay. Yeah, so I would always laughed at the way you said bitch, which is betch, and dick, which is deck. Yeah. Like, he's such a betch and such a deck. I'm like, do you hear yourself talking right now?
Is.
Yeah, so that's actually funny, because when I walked down the aisle, I told you that I didn't want to cry, and my father is the sweetest man ever, and all he was saying was nice things that were making me start to tear up. So Eric came in and you said,
betch.
And you sobered right up.
So loud as I was walking down the aisle, and it made me laugh. And there's a really funny picture of Lindsay dying because she's mortified.
I was on the end and you come walking down the aisle and I just like, betch. Yeah, that's good.
Classic. And you got a really good, like, natural smile photo out of it, I assume.
Yes.
So you're doing your job, Eric, as the best friend. Or a mild acquaintance at the wedding. So going back to diehard, just Kansas City fan all around, you are a part owner of the Royals. Like, you say you're just a fan, but it, like, do you ever, like, want to get in, like, the management part of it? Like, you know, Kat and I are these, like, backseat GMs. This is why we're here. We joked when we were in quarantine together, like, one day we're going to, you know, be a real GM.
Mm-hmm.
Is that ever in your, you know, I know the Royals are not as hot as, you know, but I was talking to my 9-year-old, I have 4 boys. They're all very into baseball, very into hockey. And my oldest is like, Bobby Witt Jr.'s on that team. He's my favorite Royal. Like, and kept going on and on. And he's like, Salvador Perez. And he's like giving me like his top like 3 guys on the team. And I'm like, well, what do I ask about them? And he's just like, ask him if they're signing any new people. So do we have any new Royals coming on?
That's
on the
awesome.
Squad?
I love that he's a Royals fan. Well, he's right on par. You know, he has good taste and he understands good athletes if he's a Bobby Witt Jr. fan. He's a generational player and the Royals are lucky to have him. He's going to be great forever. Vinny Pasquantino is also an awesome guy. The Sasquatch is what they call him. I just was listening to him on the radio as we were going to breakfast this morning, and I was like, wow, he seems like a really cool, down-to-earth guy. I don't think I've ever met him, but I haven't seen who we've brought in yet. I don't pay as much attention to the Royals stuff because I don't understand the sport as well as I understand football. And Brett Veach, again, being a friend and the general manager, has given me this sort of behind the scenes, behind the curtain access. And I do watch tape with Brett. I'll go in and watch tape. And, you know, I watch a lot of college football, and I'll constantly ask him, like, hey, what do you think of this tackle out of Minnesota? I mean, he's got the size, but, like, I don't know what his where do you guys have him? And he'll be like, oh, we got him at a late fifth or early sixth. I'm like, oh, okay, I think we could move him up the board a little bit. So I do actually get involved in a fun, cute way. I try to give myself a little more credit than probably I should get, but I enjoy the sport of football so much and feel like I'm a decent talent evaluator.
I like that. What are the main personality differences between football players, baseball players, and hockey players, having been so close to so many?
Well, I've always found baseball players to be the most confident of the, you know, meaning if, you know, kind of cocky guys.
Yeah,
I would say that. Now, that doesn't mean those guys don't exist everywhere, but I would say as a whole, I would think like baseball players are a little bit like, I already said on the record that have always found hockey players to be really, as a whole, again, not painting with a broad brush, but as a whole, more down to earth and like farmer-ish, mostly because of where hockey players naturally come from in that area. And then football players, you get a mix because you get the good old Southern boys, you get the good old farm boys, you get the city kids that are amazing. So you kind of get a mix. But what they all have in common is they have dedicated their lives to playing a sport, and only a few people get to do that. So they have my utmost respect because I've seen enough behind the scenes of how hard it is to get there and how hard it is to stay there. So overall, just have my admiration and respect. I only get excited. I don't get excited to meet actors, or I only get excited to meet, you know, people that I think like I can't do what they do. Well, I can't play hockey, so I'm immediately excited to meet you. I can't play football. I'm excited to meet you. I'm not a lead singer of a band, but so those are the people I get excited to meet and have so much respect for.
Is there one athlete that you haven't met that you would kind of be like starstruck if you encountered them?
Probably someone of another era. You know, going to the Super Bowls these last few years, I've gotten to meet so many of the people that I looked up to as a kid and playing. I'm a big offensive line guy, so I've gotten to meet a lot of my guys that I just – I got to meet Anthony Munoz, the legendary tackle for the Bengals. We were at a Cuban restaurant in Miami, and I'm like, that's Anthony Munoz. And finally, I just went over, and he's like, I know you, man. It's like, so that was cool. I have a picture with Anthony Munoz, and went to USC, Cat.
Fight on.
So I don't know. I mean, I want to meet Josh Allen. I haven't met Josh Allen. I mean, I know that seems weird, but I've heard he's such a great guy, being, you know, went to Wyoming, and he's from a rural area. And I've had a couple friends that played at the Bills, and they said, oh, you would love Josh so much. And so I'd like to meet him, and I'd like to shake his hand, and just because I would want him as my quarterback if we didn't have Patrick. I've said it many times. So he'd be somebody I'd want to meet.
Is there anybody athlete-wise who has come up to you and told you that they're a fan, and it's like taking you aback?
Oh, well, the most legendary of all. I mean, Kobe Bryant texted me and said, you know, can I come to set sometime? I have that direct message. And all of a sudden he shows up to set because he's a fan of the show. And he's like, I felt like laughing this morning. And I'm like, only Kobe Bryant woke up and felt like laughing and didn't watch TV, but went to watch a shoot TV, which I just thought was the coolest thing ever. He came and spent the day with us. But yeah, you know, so many times, because again, talking about what they do for a living, what people understand, the stress of practice, the stress of training, the stress of game, to and fro on planes, you spend most of your times on planes. They need a distraction, and Modern Family has been that for so many athletes and so many people. J.J. Watt was a big fan of the show, and he would tell me his game time ritual was, you know, or nighttime ritual before was, you know, finish the meetings, watch a couple episodes of Modern Family, crush a glass of milk, and go to bed, you know, whatever it was. And I always thought that was cool.
They also brought the cup to the Modern Family set, right?
Yeah, Anjay brought it to the set and let everybody see it. He took it around. There's a great picture of me and Anjay in front of our portrait there in Mitch and Cam's apartment that was awesome. But there again, that's just like, it's so cool that the crew got to experience that. And it was so awesome that the NHL and, because it wasn't Anjay's day. NHL just like said, we're going to the set. And Anjay just came with it. It wasn't like Anjay had to burn a day with the cup for us. They just let him bring it to us.
So you've partied with the cup and you've partied with the Chiefs. Tell us any stories between the two that like stick out, other than I know you just told us about the cup, but or any differences in how the celebrations are?
Well, I mean, the storied history and the tradition with the Stanley Cup, I think, is kind of unrivaled. So, I mean, it's incredible. Again, I don't want to bring up people that are no longer with us, but he was a great guy. Matt Perry had a party at his house after the first cup, and I got invited to come, and the cup was there. And Anjay, again, people got in line, and Anjay and a couple other players, you know, poured beer into all of our mouths. That was really fun seeing that. And then one night, I think after the second time, I was at a dinner with Tim Leiwicki, and he leaned over to me and he goes, "Hey, when we leave here, just follow me." And I was like, "Okay, well, I'm probably not parked where you are. Where are you parked?" He's like, "Well, we're right out front." I'm like, "Okay, well, you'll have to give me time." So I sped around, got behind him, and sure enough, followed him. And we start winding up the hills of Beverly Hills. We were at a restaurant there on Cannon Drive. I'm like, "Where are we going?" I was by myself, following Tim and his family. And all of a sudden we pull up to this big gate. And the gates open and we drive in, knock on the door, and this little older man answers the door. And I'm still like, I have no idea who this is. And it turned out it was I can't think of his name right now, the owner of Ticketmaster, the creator of Ticketmaster, and manager for Van Halen and Journey and all these guys. And we walk in and there's Glenn Frey playing the piano in this house. And we bring the Stanley Cup in for a special like moment. So now I'm all of a sudden in this mansion in Beverly Hills and Glenn Frey serenading us on the piano with the Stanley Cup sitting next to me.
I mean, that tracks for hockey celebrations. I feel like they lead to the most hilarious, because it's different, I assume. I mean, do football players, I'm naive here. Do they get like a day with the trophy? Like it's the cup. You get a day with the cup. So make the most of those 24 hours and you never know what will happen.
Yeah, I don't think the guys get that. I don't even think the guys get a trophy. Does Tyler get a mini Stanley Cup?
That's a great question. I'll ask him sometime.
I think you'd have seen it in your house.
No, well, it might be in a box that's still packed up.
Well, that's true. But Rob Toffoli has like a shrine in Canada of all things Stanley Cup. So I'm sure if there is one, it's there.
Yeah. But yeah, I think you just win the Super Bowl and you go to Disneyland if you're the MVP, and then you get back to, you got like a couple months off and you're right back at it. I mean, you all know how you have the shortest off season of everyone, right? So no time to party.
We might have to go on a Norwegian cruise line. I've been seeing you in all the commercials on Jeff's games. I'm like, what are the odds here? And now I'm curious to be a cruise fan.
Yeah, Norwegian and the NHL have this great partnership that I was so excited when they asked me to become the brand ambassador for Norwegian. One of the selling points was that we have this great partnership with the NHL, and I was like, awesome. Norwegian's a great company. They're very thoughtful, conscious company culture there, and they do a lot with veterans and a lot with veterans associations and warriors. So, yeah, I'm excited. I'm going on a cruise in July to Alaska.
I love it.
It's so funny. I sent you the video that Julie actually filmed when the Detroit Red Wings shouted us out on the broadcast, and then the very next thing was you. So yeah. Of course.
Yeah. Can't escape me, batch.
Never batch.
Oh, and I think we missed it, but before, I think when Kat and I became friends, she posted like an anniversary picture. You were in the background, and I'm like, no way. Prior to that, my husband and I would do these split shot, like screen grab things of our oldest when he was like 2 or 3, and he would make cam faces all the time. And I'm like,
I just texted you it.
You can look at it firsthand. Yeah. This is my son.
Oh my God.
Yeah. We will put this on the broadcast, but my son used to make these faces, and we used to send them to our family. We'd just be like, mini cam, here he is.
That is adorable. That is.
So when this came to fruition, we were like, we got to find that picture. And Kat, of course.
That's amazing.
Doesn't delete any text messages. So she had it.
That's a Valentine's Day episode right there. I can tell by what I'm wearing.
What you're wearing. But I want to know from your, what are you watching? Are you watching any TV right now? And what are you watching? If you are.
I'm pretty boring with TV. We started watching Landman. I started watching some old episodes of Dexter because Lindsay had never seen Dexter. I watch a lot of sports. We love a good Dateline. We love a good 2020 Friday night. Who done it? We obsessed with those kinds of shows.
You're like all of us. You're dabbling in everything.
Yeah. And TV, as much as I'm in the business of TV, it's just not as fun anymore to watch. Like I'm an old school, like sit down with the remote and flip around. And that's harder and harder to do all the time now with all of you young punks and your YouTubes and all those things. So get off my lawn. So hopefully, I'll find something that inspires me. I keep thinking maybe Modern Family one thing we watch, like when we're going to bed and the Modern Family will be on, Lindsay will be like, okay, what were you doing in this episode? And then it's the challenge for me to try to remember the episode and like something about it, which at 53 is harder and harder and harder to do. So we enjoy watching an old rerun of Modern Family every now and then.
Nice. I think I got to start Modern Family from the beginning again. Just bring it back.
Yeah,
good. When we first met, I had not seen an episode, and you were very, very disturbed by that. But
yeah, well, I mean, it was like the number one show on TV, and so I'm disturbed by anyone who's not paying attention to like life and what's going on. It doesn't mean you have to like it, but it definitely means you have to be aware of it.
So last question, if you were on a deserted island and had to survive, what Modern Family cast member would you take with you to survive?
Ty Burrell, for sure. Ty, lives in Utah. He camps, he cuts firewood and makes his own sausage, and like he's kind of a Renaissance man that way. So I think Ty and I would be pretty formidable if we had to survive.
Love it. Love to hear it.
Also, he's also the sweetest human ever. So
yeah, we got lucky with our cast. Like I'm the meanest one of all of them. Like just my dark, mean sense of humor. But like we got so lucky with everyone on the cast. Everyone's great, and we're still in contact. Everyone would love our text thread. That should be a TV show. It's just our text threads together. Do you remember when I almost got kicked out of Dodger Stadium and you weren't there that game?
Yeah, so I actually, when I was Googling you, I was trying to find some pictures of you at the Dodgers. And that story still is one of the things.
Well,
that
what happened?
Up.
Real quick, got to hear it.
I'm not going to go into the long story, but I just got into it with a fan, and I was defending Matt Kemp because Matt Kemp was getting heckled by this guy. And I hadn't met Matt Kemp. I hadn't met any of the Dodgers, but I was a Dodgers fan. I had become a Dodgers fan, and I feel compelled to defend my team. And this guy was just giving Matt Kemp trouble. And I said something I shouldn't have said. I got into a verbal altercation with somebody, and, it wasn't good. And then I was like, I'm so embarrassed because I'm in comped seats from Kat. And so I said to the security guy, I'm like, hey, you're going to have to let the Dodgers know you're kicking me out because
call Kat.
Call Kat. Yeah. And it was embarrassing. And then the next game, I had just thrown the first pitch out like the week before. So I felt like I was really disrespecting and misrepresenting the Dodgers. Like I was bummed that I was in trouble in their seats. That's how I felt.
No, it was blown out of proportion. And I had taken, it was like the first game I had taken off. I was at IndyCar, remember? So I was a little drunk.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I called you. I called you. I'm like, you're not going to believe it. I get kicked out. But the best, my favorite pictures of all time is then like a couple games later when I came back and you had told Matt Kemp the story and he was like, oh, I got to meet that guy then. And so there's this great picture of me telling the story to Matt Kemp and he's just laughing and laughing and laughing. But that was fun. Those were good times. Meeting Tommy. I love meeting Tommy and getting to know Tommy Lasorda. That was awesome.
I keep saying that if this podcast was around when Tommy was around, he would just be a recurring, amazing guest. I mean, the stories he could tell would be amazing. So, I mean, I think of him often when I think of all of these stories. So, yeah. And I think of you often, too.
Mm. Mm. Okay, well.
Well, I miss you.
It's fine. Thank you. I miss Tyler.
Well, you're going to see him soon. So,
yeah.
Were you trying to just call for him to come down? He's not here. We're going to see you at the Super Bowl because this year we have a rare long break because of Four Nations. So Ty actually will be able to make it for the first time. So you'll actually get to hang out with him.
Great. Maybe we can both clinch.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on, Eric.
Yeah, see ya. Eric.
What's up, everybody? Adnan Burke here to tell you about a new podcast from iHeart Podcasts and the National Hockey League. It's NHL Unscripted with Burke and Demers.
Hey, I'm Jason Demers, former 700-game NHL defenseman turned NHL Network analyst. And boy, oh boy, does Daddy have a lot to say.
I love you, by the way, on NHL Network. We're looking forward to getting together each week to chat and chirp about the sport and all the other things surrounding it that we love, right?
Yeah, I just met you today, but we're going to have a ton of guests from the colliding worlds of hockey, entertainment, and pop culture. And you know what? Tons of back and forth on all things NHL.
Yeah, you're going to find out we're not just hockey talk. We're into all kinds of random stuff on this podcast, movies, television, food, wrestling, even the stuff that you wear on NHL Now.
You wish you could pull off my short shorts, Berkey.
That's sure to cause a ruckus. Listen to NHL Unscripted with Burke and Demers in the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So that was amazing. Not going to lie, we were a little nervous yesterday with that game.
Yeah, thank God we got Eric after a big Chiefs win, even though my Buffalo Bills, and yes, I am a Detroit Lion fan through and through, but Buffalo Bills are in my blood. So if I'm not cheering for the Lions, I'm cheering for the Bills. And I'm a little heartbroken, but for the pod, I'm okay with it.
Yeah, sorry. I was very excited by that win because I didn't realize that we were kind of the first interview of his, you know, the next morning. So glad we got to talk to him about all of that. And yeah, any takeaways from meeting him for the first time?
Oh, he just was making me giggle like he does on TV. So I wasn't shocked by that at all. I loved hearing just like kind of the inside of the wives and in, you know, the Chiefs. Like, you know, we didn't get too much, but it kind of feels like, you know, it's portrayed a certain way and there's so much media and so much attention. And we get some of that kind of negative attention too, when it's not the full story. And to hear, you know, the real Brittany Mahomes, you know, what Taylor Swift is like and, you know, his interactions with the families. I think it's telling to just like, you can't believe everything that you read. And just really cool to hear how genuine they are. And I really would like to be in a, you know, in the group chat with that group of wives. So,
well, yeah, the thing I love about Eric as a friend is he really does have a good read on people. And he always has like the best friends surrounding him, all the best people, you know, it's Hollywood, whatever. And he's always just got a really down-to-earth crew around him.
Yeah.
So it shows, and I think that's why he gets along with, obviously, you know.
And that's so why he approved Tyler for you. And that's why we're here.
That was like the nicest he's ever spoken to me. I was like laughing because he normally just gives me a hard time nonstop.
Well, that's okay.
Of course he did. But
yeah,
he loves Tyler. So we're thankful for that. Well, speaking of TV, it's funny. I was thinking of something the other day. I love when people say my toxic trait is, you know, just like whatever. My toxic trait is that I can't go to sleep early, whatever. But do you and Jeff have a toxic trait when it comes to television? Because
yeah, probably. When we're watching, we're like, I'm the worst. I think my toxic trait is like watching something like years later and being like, oh my gosh, this show. And everybody's like, yeah,
that tracks because I have to catch you up on a lot of pop culture. So that tracks.
Yeah. So that's probably mine. Jeff's is probably like we start a show together and then they travel so much. He just like leaves me in the dust. He just like watches the rest of the show. And then because he knows he's like, if I don't watch it now, I'm never finishing this series. So, I mean, I'm like cool with it. I'm like, you finished it, didn't you? So.
Also, your personality is like, oh, I don't care, you know?
I mean, I'm probably on my phone while we're watching the show anyway. So, like, we're good. I'll just be like,
well, that's a toxic trait. It's just being on your phone.
Yeah, that's it. And then his other toxic trait would be falling asleep at the beginning of the show that he wanted to start. So we've got a lot around TV. What is yours?
Well, the reason was because I noticed one of Ty's recently that was just – it's eye-opening. But mine probably is that I can watch the same show over and over again. And, like I can have reruns on all the time. And maybe that's because I do like being on my phone and stuff. So I don't really want to pay attention. But Ty's is we watch The Traitors together and we watch Top Chef together. Those are our two shows. And they're both competitions. So at the end, someone gets voted off every time. And Tyler, who loves both shows, can watch the entire show and then he gets up and leaves right before the person gets voted off.
What?
It's the craziest thing. And I always tell him, I'm like, are you actually leaving before you
do
you invest?
So do you have to tell him who won or got voted off or whatever it is?
A lot of times, like the next time we start an episode, he's like, so who got voted? I'm like, what?
Wait,
why did you leave?
I mean, that sounds like something I would do, but
yeah, I mean, I noticed it a lot when we watched Top Chef, but now that Traitors is, I mean, that's the biggest part of the show is who gets voted off. That's what you're watching for, because that's like the
hilarious
whole part of the game. And yeah, he just will casually get up and go upstairs and go to bed. Right?
Is he like sad that it's over? Like he just doesn't want it to end maybe?
I don't know. I call him out on it and he's just like, yeah.
That's so funny.
I didn't need to know. Absolutely bizarre. And that is your toxic trait and you are bizarre. Okay, so I did a couple fan questions, ask me anything. So I found some of the ones that we get asked a lot because they're just going to keep asking these. Are the guys moody after a loss?
Yeah. I mean, like sometimes more than others. I mean, it's never a good vibe after a loss. But I would say some are like more intense of why they are moody than others. I would say they're more moody when they're like injured. Like that is like you cannot gauge what the mood is going to be. And I can currently speak on that because I've had an injured husband. And the mood is peaks and valleys.
Brings the vibe down for sure.
Yeah.
I think it also depends, definitely injury, but I think it also depends on what situation the team's in. You know, like if it's they're trying to, you know, make playoffs or if they're supposed to be a really good team and they're not. I think that definitely affects Ty's mood. But for example, a story at the Kings when they were really, really good, they won the cup and then a couple years following, they, you know, had a little fall from grace. So Jackie Quick, Ines Kopitar and I used to call Ubers together if we saw the game going downhill because
we're escaping this ride home.
Yeah, it can be a long ride home from Staples Center, Crypto, to Hermosa Beach. So I don't like that awkward silence, and I'm not a you where I don't really have any hockey tips or anything to.
Yeah, I have no tips. I just like want to work through things. So I'm just like, what happened here? And then, yeah, it doesn't last long, but
yeah, I'm good on
silence. I'm breaking down things sometimes.
That's funny. They also asked if Jeff or Tyler will be a guest anytime soon.
I mean, we'll probably make them. I prefer interviewing Tyler more than Jeff personally. So I'm going to volunteer him as Tribune.
Yeah, I would like to interview Jeff because, you know, I have questions.
Well, let's swap because, yeah, I'm the talker of the two. Sorry, I'm being interrupted.
Oh, okay,
thank you. Sorry, little people are home after school and we're trying to multitask here.
No, I love it. Yeah, we'll find a good time for Ty and Jeff to come on. I don't know.
Maybe we can have them together. I feel like if we could fit us all in the screen together, I mean, Bob might need to help us with our microphone situation so we have excellent sound.
Yeah.
But I think the four of us would have some funny stories and just, you know, shoot the shit together.
I know. I think that should wait until off season so that we can, like, you know, pour a goblet of wine each and just like.
We could host like a wine tasting, like a virtual podcast wine tasting situation, maybe from the Sonoma race course.
That would be fun. And that's definitely something we all would love to do. So let's put that in the books, but let's hopefully we can get something fun like that on the books eventually, maybe this off season. But yeah, so thanks again for listening, everyone. Jules, you take it away because you're the best at telling people how to listen to this.
You guys know what to do. Never Offside with Julie and Kat. You can listen to anywhere you listen to your podcasts. And share, like, subscribe, write us a review. I know it feels awkward to write reviews on podcasts, but it really means a lot and goes a long way. And you can also watch our podcast on YouTube if that interests you. So we'll share those links every time.
Thank you.